It is that time of the day. We're going to get you started or help you out on your various home improvement needs, your questions, your concerns. Walter Assey, president of Renovco, is here. I'm Joanne Brackets. We are taking your calls and your text messages, 514-790-0800. Good morning, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing great. You used to say this is the favorite time of the day. Now you just said it is that time of the day.
It is that time
of the day. I've been just downgraded in October.
Listen, Walter, there are so many questions. We have one that's come in right away. Actually, it came in even before you walked into the building here. It says, hi, Joanne. Question for Walter. Has Walter ever heard of gray composite deck boards warping at the ends at the store before being actually sold, but the brown boards being straight? I'm having a dispute with my contractor on a 50-foot balcony 5 feet wide. He was told by the commercial manager at the store, we won't name the store, that the gray ones just warp and it's normal. This comes to us from Rob. Is that normal? Is somebody trying to cheat him?
Anything that is warping before you bought it is not normal.
So the color has nothing to do.
The color have actually, it's a bit of a bizarre situation because the composite for decks is known to have issues with darker colors and not lighter colors. The lighter colors is what is recommended because the darker colors, it's not about the warping as much as about the overheating. So they're known in very hot days. If you want to walk barefoot on your deck, it's going to get really hot and it's really not advice for you to do that.
So
the fact that the gray ones are warping, I'm really stumped with that because it's not supposed to happen,
before it actually gets there.
And who's going to buy that? Why would you even have it in your store if it's warping? So the whole story is not making sense.
We're going on a no for this one. Let's get to some calls. Reminder, 514-790-0800 is the text line. And our call line, who's been waiting longest here? Diane. Diane is on the line. Diane, thank you for calling. Take it away.
Oh, hello. Thank you very much. I'm looking to change the siding on the front of my house, and it's in wood right now, and I'd like to know what would be the best siding to put on in as far as replacing it. Some people say use just plain cedar and redo it with a cedar wood, which would last longer than Maybeck or whatever the other siding. I don't want vinyl.
You don't want what?
Pardon me?
You don't want what? Sorry, I didn't get that last part.
I would rather not put vinyl because it's too noisy and we're in a windy area.
Okay, so I agree with you on the vinyl and windy area because they tend to fly off with the wind, especially when you have those strong winds that we've been getting lately. So here's the difference. I mean, the good news for you is that you do have a lot of options now, okay? And some of it is have to do with the design and the architecture you're trying to accomplish. So right now we can mix and match the type of siding, the pattern of the siding. I personally like the Maybach because it is guaranteed for 25 years on the paint. So as a product, it's made the way they dry their wood. And then the way they do their applications and their painting allows for the longevity of the product. The other thing I like is the fact that you can get it in any color, right?
Yes.
They do have standard color palette, but also if you don't like any of the colors they have, you could choose any color from any color swatch and they will do it for you custom.
Okay.
That's a big plus for you. Okay. The other thing that you could do with that is you could mix and match. So you could go with the horizontal wood siding and then maybe put shingle siding on top. You could go straight shingle all the way to the top. So there's a lot of options. You can go with the vertical ones as well.
So what is your opinion on cedar?
I mean, cedar is a good product. Cedar is just a type of wood, right? So it's not really... once you paint a product... I'm going to make it maybe a bit simpler for you. Once you paint a product that is properly dried, it doesn't really matter the type of wood, because the idea is paint protects wood, right?
That's
so
right.
It could be in pine, and if it's well painted and well maintained and the paint lasts, mm-hmm. the wood is going to last.
Okay. So the wood that's on there now has been on since 1965.
Yeah, and then Maybach as a product, and I'm not necessarily, because I'm just mentioning it because you mentioned it, so I'm not really sponsoring mm-hmm. it right now. It's made to last that long. I mean, I've seen jobs that were done with Maybach siding that lasted for years. So it's not, don't think it's something that is out of the ordinary. If you maintain it well, if you paint it when the manufacturers ask you to paint it, then it will last you forever, really, if you think about it.
So Maybach would need to be repainted after X amount of years.
So they have recommendations, that is correct. I mean, I think from what I remember, I could be wrong, it's guaranteed for 25 years or 20 years. So it's a long time before you paint it.
And then it is paintable. It's not that it needs to be replaced.
It's paintable. That is correct.
Okay.
And you could paint it many times. And you can even paint it before if you choose, if you don't like the color anymore, you want to go with a different color theme. If you sell the house and they want to go with a different color theme, that's what's the beauty about it is, if you go with vinyl siding, you're stuck with that color. You're stuck with that model. You're stuck with
so
a lot of
things. To you, the best thing or would be the Maybach, or that I've heard is James Hardy or whatever. Is that
yeah.
the same thing?
James Hardy is good as well. I mean, I've done a lot of research on the Maybach per se. I like the way they do the process of their drying. I like the way they do their process of the application of the paint. And I like the type of the paint that they use to get, if you wish, to tick all of these boxes that will make it long-lasting. I've not done as much exhaustive research on others, to be quite frank with you. But if it's comparable to the Maybach process, then I would tell you, you don't have any issues. I wouldn't necessarily spend extra money on cedar just because it's cedar wood. You do have products out there that are cheaper, but are as good and long lasting. Now, just one more thing I want to tell you. Unless you want to go with the natural look. So there's going to be no paint on that cedar. It's going to be just varnish, and you want to have that natural cedar look. That's another story.
No, this is a painted product.
Good. So then definitely I would tell you do not go with the cedar. There's a lot of other beautiful options out there.
I thank you very much for your information. It shortened my research.
Thank you for
thank
so
you.
Much
have
for calling,
day.
Diane.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We have more calls coming in. 514-790-0800 is the text line. And it, of course, is the phone line. We're going to get to the calls in just a bit. I have a question right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving into our new house very soon, but I'm currently in a place that doesn't have any air conditioning. Are there any sort of tips and tricks from the understanding the area? Like if I stick my fan up against the window, are there tips and tricks to get the cool air without the AC?
In a day like this,
no?
you move out.
But that's what I'm trying to do. But honestly, is there something, you know,
yeah.
for people living in an apartment with no AC?
Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing that is, I mean, obvious to do is do not open the curtains.
Yes, that's true. In Greece, they never open the blinds in the
correct.
Summer
days. So you want to keep your blinds closed the whole day. In a day like this, you really, because the more you're gonna bring in all the heat and all the humidity, which you don't want. I mean, the fan is circulating the dry air. There are those portable AC units right now that you could buy. Costco have them, and they work fine. They're easy to install. They work fine. They will help. They're gonna solve your problem, but they will definitely help. You might need to buy a few more units.
And tell me this, the instinct to open the windows.
No, that's wrong. Well, again, during the day, it's very wrong. If it cools off at night, of course, it's better.
Cover the windows, blinds,
and
close
them. And do not allow the heat from the outside to come in, because typically it's supposed to be cooler on the inside.
Okay. So I want to remind everyone, 514-790-0800 is the text line. It's the phone line. I'm Joanne Brackus. He's Walter Assey, president of Renovco. Welcome back, Walter Assey, president of Renovco. joins me, Joanne Brekus. We're here to take your questions, your home improvement questions. And I want to remind you that the phone number is 514-790-0800. You can text us or you can send us, you can call in for your questions. We've got two calls. Darcy has been waiting patiently for nearly 15 minutes now. Darcy has a big question about basement cement. Darcy, take it away.
Yes, I had to repeat it a couple of times. It's efflorescence.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's for a client. They found that it's a vid sanitaire, a little crawl space,
mm-hmm.
And it's on. There's a wall that comes along the foundation. There's a part that comes perpendicular in the support of the floor, about 10 feet, and it's bizarre. It's there that the efflorescence is coming out. I've researched online. I found a company in the States. They do this thing from the inside, apparently. And it penetrates. I couldn't find their product. I found one that's Rona here from Rust-Oleum. Suppose it's supposed to work from the inside. I did two coats. It doesn't work. The efflorescence passes through. Am I wasting my time with that? Is there a product you know, or do I have to? I'm trying to avoid the obvious solution, which is dig up the neighbor's garden and waterproof from the outside.
If efflorescence is being caused by saturation, I mean, obviously it's excess humidity in the cement that is pushing the salt away, calcium, and then creating that fuzzy efflorescence on top. So the best way to deal with this is not to seal it, because eventually it will fail and it will not, you know, you'll be fighting a losing battle. Is to determine what is the reason behind it. And believe it or not, it's not always water infiltration. Sometimes it's excess condensation. So if you're not seeing an active water leak, if you're not seeing puddles of water, a very good chance it is caused by condensation because it's crawl space. Have you looked into that?
Last year it was encapsulated by Système Sous-Sol. So it's all, and they have their little detectors in there, and there's nothing is going on, and as far as humidity.
I just walk me through it. What do you mean encapsulate what?
Well, they did their it's like a big tarp that they put plastic all over the place. I guess 3 inches underneath the joist. It's clean. It's nice. It's all plastic, and it's taped and sealed, and they use spray foam all the way around the edges, and just the last bit of cement that's sticking up above, I guess for 4 or 5 inches that comes up, and that's where the efflorescence is coming through.
So it is where your cement slab meets the foundation. Is that what?
There's no slab.
It's an earth, like it's.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It's an old house.
So what they came to do is to kind of cover up the earth in order to avoid the humidity from reaching the main area.
Yeah.
Okay, and they did that by putting plastic everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, for the slab itself, that works. Your exterior walls right now, are they insulated, or they're on cement?
It's all cement.
Okay. So,
but, I mean, exterior, it's a, maybe once I get to the end, I have maybe a foot and a half. You can barely crawl in there. So it's not, wall is a big word.
Okay. But the idea behind it is what you have right now is an area where its condensation is very common. The reason being, you have, you know, the temperature from the outside, the temperature from the inside is never going to be the same. That earth did not help. Now you covered it, but you cannot 100% cover it where the earth meets the cement slab. So one of the things you might want to do is to try to urethane the exterior walls, and then obviously you cannot keep it exposed. You put something like an ignifuge on top in order to make it less flammable. And then that might help, because what we want, we don't want the exterior walls section of the exterior walls to start sweating because the cold air and the hot air are meeting each other. And then in an area which is already humid, which is not going to help. Mm. Okay. You know, this is pretty much, it's always a challenge in crawl spaces. Usually you want to try to, as much as possible, if you have the budget, to finish them like you would finish a normal room. And if soil or earth on the floor does not help. Usually when you put plastic, it cuts it by at least 90%. So it is fairly effective, but it's never going to be as effective as your textile and putting a cement slab and everything else, right?
Yeah.
So there will be leaks for sure, not as much as before. But if you don't do that, you're probably fighting a losing battle with this.
Yeah, okay. So you're saying that's good, help me, because these products all say that they penetrate the cement and it's supposed to end that. So you think that the urethane...
Well, the urethane, what it's going to do is going to insulate your walls. And now anything that is causing those walls to sweat, it will stop it dead there, right? So that's what we want. We don't want the cold air from the outside, meaning the hot air from the inside, and then, you know, creating condensations. Especially that you're not seeing an active water leak. If you would have seeing an active water leak, you would tell you, okay, it's a foundation crack, it's a pinhole that's leaking. The fact that it's exposed yet humid just gives you that, you know, it tells you that this is probably what's happening, you know, especially in the areas where your slab, where the earth is meeting the foundation wall.
Okay.
Thank you, Darcy. Thank you so much for your call.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. 514-790-0800 is the text line. And the phone line to reach us. Quick question here on, I don't know if you can answer this, on the text line about mosquitoes and keeping mosquitoes out. Someone heard that you can spray vinegar. And it's funny because we were talking about vinegar on my show.
Yeah.
Can you spray something like that around the house? Or I heard somewhere if you put like Irish spring soap around. Is all of these wives' tales, have we lost our minds?
I've heard about it, that it works for... the mouse trails, that mice,
vinegar
usually,
mice,
that's right, they don't like it. I've never heard about it with the mosquitoes. I mean, obviously with mosquitoes, citronelle works, so anything that is based on that citronelle thing. There are products from off that I buy them from Costco, and they work wonders, honestly.
And they're safe for kids and stuff? You're not
well,
worried about
that? They're safe. It's a citronelle candle.
Okay.
You put it around you, and it works to a certain extent. There is another one that I'm actually trying right now.
Tell me.
It works on propane.
Propane?
That's right. You put it away from your house. It's good for 1 acre. So it's really not bothersome to you if you're sitting outside because it
covers the area.
It covers the area. And what it does, it controls the mosquito population. So it's constantly working. There's a fan. There's like a magnet for the mosquitoes. And then it gets sucked into a filter.
When we were living in Greece, the mosquito problem is so bad, you have to call someone every 3 weeks and they come and spray the yard. And then 3 weeks later, they're back. So it's a completely different situation.
That works
here. Yeah.
There's also service for exterminators that will come and do that for you. I've tried it again for curiosity purposes.
First week works great, but because they're laying more eggs and stuff, that's why it has to be every 3 weeks they come in.
That's right. That's exactly it.
We have so many more questions coming in, 514-790-0800. This is the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey and Joanne Brekkus. Welcome back. 514-790-0800. That is the text line. Or the phone number to reach us. Walter Assey, president of Renovco, is here, and he is taking all of your most pressing home improvement questions. We have Donna. Oh, no, before we get to Donna, Ahmad's been on the phone for quite some time. Ahmad, take it away. You have a question about your window well.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I bought a house last April, and the inspector who was checking the house, they was checking the backyard. There's the windows for the on basement. There was wind wells, and they were closed also to the like the deck. So, you know, wind wells, they put some rocks. surrounded by metal. And then underneath the deck, there's also rocks. So he told me that we need to, like, connect the wind well with the under with the rocks underneath the deck by doing the same module, by like doing also rocks surrounded by metal to connect the whole thing to protect the kind of the, like the foundation or something like that. So I checked on multiple like websites and how to do that, and no one was like, everyone like, no, you just do the wind well for the wind well and you keep the rocks for underneath the deck, you don't connect both. Well, I would like to know, is that correct?
What I would really like to know is, where the heck did you find this inspector?
He was referred to me by a friend.
I've never ever heard of anything like that. So the bottom line, Ahmad, is very simple. Yeah. Your wind well have to be, the metal that curves have to be attached to your foundation. You need to have few inches of gravel, three-quarter gravel, or you can call it pea gravel, if you want to use another name for it. You want to be 8 to 12 inches below the sill, and you want to have it drained down to your French drain. That's the adequate way to do a window well. There's no, you know, there's no other engineering gadgets or connections. And the matter of fact, connecting it to anything else is just going to bring in more water to your window well. And the idea is, we want to try to limit the water. The reason we add the gravel is because we want it to absorb nicely and quietly down to the drain without overfilling. Okay, so by you channeling other areas to it, you are bringing in water to a very small basin and creating more risks to yourself and to the foundation.
I see.
Okay.
And shall I check if those wind wells are connected to the French drain, or it should be connected to the French drain eventually by whoever built the house?
Well, I'm hoping they did it the correct way. Every window well should have a drain, that's for sure, because especially now with the torrential downpours we're having. What you want to do is, you want to also check the thickness of the gravel. You need a minimum of 3 inches, minimum. I like to put more, but minimum 3 inches of gravel. And you need to also check the clearance between the gravel and your cement sill on the wall, on the window, just to see that you have enough clearance. Okay. Having
and
said that,
how do I do that?
You just measure. You look where your gravel ends and where your window begins, and you measure how many inches you have.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I measured. It's more than 5 inches.
Okay. So I mean, Because of the gravel that can pass, okay, but let's say you wouldn't have the gravel, the code would be 8 inches minimum. So 8 to 12 inches is the best clearance. If you're ever maintaining these and you can get to down to that level, even with the gravel, it's even better. But, you know, the fact that you have the gravel, kind of, you can calculate that depending on how many inches of gravel you have. So if you would have 3 inches, then you're in the, good. If you only have 1 inch, then you are short at least 2 inches. But the deeper you go, the better it is. The gravel that you have under the deck have other usage, okay? So when you build a deck, typically you don't want mauvais herbe, you don't want weeds to grow. So the reason we put gravel there, we put a geodeck style and then we add gravel, is because, you know, I don't think you would want to go with your weed whacker and go under your deck every couple of weeks to cut all the shrubs that are growing. That's pretty much the reason for it. There's no drainage reason whatsoever.
Oh, I see.
Okay, Ahmad. Okay. Thank you for
your
call.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you. 514-790-0800. Reach Walter with your questions. We've got a quick text question here for you. If an upper back condo flooring has to be redone because of leaks, it leaks down when raining over the gallery, is that divided by the upper and lower owners, or is it just the upper owners who pay for the repairs because the rain is coming down?
Repeat again the question.
So if the upper back condo flooring has to be redone because of leaks, because it leaks down when it rains over the gallery downstairs. Is it divided, I guess, the price by the upper and lower owners?
So typically in a condo, depends on the syndicate regulations, but usually in a condo, the exterior envelope is a shared expense. Mm. So whether it's the roofing, the bricks, the balconies, the windows, and so on and so forth. Each syndicate have its own bylaws, but the vast majority will tell you that this will be a shared expense.
So it doesn't matter whose fault it is. I mean, this is leaking.
It's not a question of someone's fault. It's a question of the maintenance, right? And you know, with time, things get old and they start leaking. And, you know, so usually exterior envelopes in general, like if you have bricks, if you just maybe make it a bit simpler and say you have mortar around the bricks that is starting to deteriorate and it's bringing in water. And so who do you blame? Do you measure where this condo, this brick is? It's next to this condo, next to that condo? No. You know, all the condo owners will pitch and fix the bricks. Same thing applies to balconies or anything like that.
Okay, that was because I was wanted to ask about that. Let's say you're in a condo situation and the balcony, right? Mm. The people upstairs, their balcony is getting wonky and it's causing problems to you, like pieces are falling, whatever, rain's coming through. Correct. That's their personal use balcony. Does that apply?
It's their personal use park balcony, but this is part of the outside of the whole condo. So typically, let's say you have a railing and the railing is rusty. Well, the whole building have the same railing, you know. So usually it's, again, the vast majority will tell you that this is a shared expense. But you also have to look at your syndicate bylaws, because some syndicates can be engineered differently or they can decide to do things differently. But the vast majority, it's a shared expense.
So all the things like front steps.
Correct.
Windows?
Windows as well. And a lot of the condos, windows as well. And the reason they want to do that is because...
Even if it's a window to your condo?
Correct. Huh. And the reason they want to do that is because typically what happens when you build a building, all the windows are getting old at the same time. So there will be a point where all the windows have to be changed. They don't want each condo owner to call a different window company and then they have a mishmash of windows. So, and again, I say the vast majority is because we deal with this all day long and we see what the syndicate charters and bylaws are. In certain cases, I've seen where the owners themselves are responsible for the windows, but then the syndicate forces them to go with certain manufacturers, certain colors, obviously.
Yeah, I'm thinking like if you accidentally break your own window, you are paying for that.
Well, you're breaking the pane. That's different. That's something that you could repair. You're absolutely right.
May be forced to use the same company.
Correct.
To keep things
correct
looking.
Correct. Now, having said that, there are cases where repairs have been done by the syndicate where the condo owner paid or their insurance paid for the damage. So it doesn't mean that because it's part of the syndicate that, for example, the envelope is done and, you know, you hit it with your car and you broke the balcony or the bricks or what have you. And in this case, yes, the syndicate will still be in charge. They will go on subrogation against your insurance company. So technically, you're still paying for it.
But better to read the actual clauses there for the syndicate. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800. I'm Joanne Brackus, and the person answering all of your questions is the president of Renovco, Walter Assey. Welcome back. We are having a great time here on the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey, president of Renovco. I'm Joanne Brackus, and we are taking your calls and your text messages, 514-790-0800. Send in your questions, comments, concerns. Walter has all the answers. That's a lot of pressure on you, Walter. Donna has been waiting patiently on the line. Donna has an issue with fiberglass in the attic. Donna, thank you for calling.
Good morning. My house is 50 years old, and it has the original fiberglass that was there, that pink, looks like batting. What's the best thing to replace it with? Because I'm sure it's not that efficient anymore at that stage.
And you're sure this is fiberglass, right?
It's that pink stuff, and it makes you itch.
Yeah.
Wasn't I just telling you that I think I'm allergic to fiberglass? I think everyone's allergic to fiberglass.
Yeah, I mean, it does make you itch for sure. So there's something to it. I mean, it's not healthy to breathe it in, obviously, all day long or to touch it. That's why you should put gloves. It's still fiberglass. I mean, you have different choices. You could go with urethane. You could go with fiberglass. fiberglass is still a thing. My main concern with a very old fiberglass is what status it's in. Has it been wet before? Has it, degraded? Because there's two ways to do this. Either you add to what you have and you bring it up to the R50 code that we want you to be at, or you remove the old ones because now we know they're not in good shape and they're just taking space in your attic, which is not going to allow us to get the inches we need.
How do we know it's not in good shape? Does it start to smell, look funny, what?
It's a bunch of things. Okay. You want to see if, first of all, when you go in the attic, you want to look at signs of water damage, water staining, okay, and so on and so forth. Now, for some reason, a lot of the homeowners, they do have water damage. They fix their drywall. They leave the wet insulation up there. Don't ask me why. It doesn't make sense to me.
They but skip
I,
a step.
I see it all. They skip the most important step.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, and this is 50 years old, so God knows how many times you've had these types of damages over the years and not taken properly care of it.
50 is a lot.
So then you might say, you know what? I'm going to take out the old insulation. I'm going to use that thickness or that void to put in more blown insulation, but it's all fresh and it's going to work. Because wet insulation, fiberglass, when it gets wet, it loses R value. So anything that is wet right now in your attic, if you think you have R12, you really have R0. Beside the fact of it takes forever to dry because it acts like a sponge and, it could create mold and all kind of different issues.
Yeah.
So that is something that this is a conversation that you absolutely need to have with your contractor before undertaking the next steps. And the reason I say that is because the easiest thing that your contractor might want to do is just to blow in more insulation in your attic, okay? But that might be the wrong answer to your situation if your existing insulation is not in good shape. That's very important, okay? So ask them to take a look at that. If you can be involved yourself and poke your head through the attic and look at things, that's even better. And then you can make a more informed decision, because this is something you're going to do and you're going to forget about it for the next 100 years, hopefully.
So no, there's no point putting more insulation on top of insulation. That's all on top of because ruined fiberglass.
Usually in an attic, you have... So insulation cannot be compacted and and it takes space. So if you have already, 6 inches of insulation in your attic and you want to add another 6 inches... 8 inches, what have you, you want to ensure that you're not blocking your soffits or choking your attic by adding that extra layer, right? So if your existing 6 inches are bad, then what you're really doing is adding another 6 inches, which is not going to give you the R50.
Yeah, I think you have to sort of, Don, if I'm understanding what Walter's saying, is check the thing you have already before you add more, right?
That is correct.
Okay, Donna, does that help you?
Well, I know it doesn't have any water damage. I've been up there myself.
Okay.
But then I'm wondering, what type of person or companies do I call for, like, opinions, like, to get different opinions on whether it should be fiberglass again or blown-in insulation? Like, who do you call?
That's a great question. So, and I'm going to give you an answer that might confuse you a bit more, but I want you to kind of look at it from a 360 vision, all right? So, typically, you would call an insulation contractor. But the situation with insulation contractors is that not all of them will look at everything that is non-insulation in your attic, okay? So you want, number one, you want to look at the soffits, at the stereo vents, okay? So you want to make sure that your soffits are unblocked, that you have adequate stereo vents at the perimeter of your attic. You have enough ventilation on your roof. And then enough thickness in insulation. So it's a list of 5 items, and you need someone to look at all these 5 items when they're doing work in your attic. Now the insulation guy can possibly look into your stereo vent situation, the insulation. Sometimes they will look into your soffit situation. And then the ventilation itself in the roof, they might tell you, oh, it's not our job, so you have to call a roofer for that. So what I would do is I would make a list and I would ask the insulation contractor to verify each and every one of them. And if you find that he doesn't want to deal with the soffits or the stereo vents or anything that's non-insulation related, then you don't have the right contractor on your hand.
Does that scare you, Donna, or does that, because there's so many steps there. Does
well,
that work?
It's not scary, but then you got to wonder, like, whoever comes in, are they going to, like, be honest? And if they're the ones that are going to do the job or recommend somebody, like, does all of it need to be really done? Or are
You're
they
right.
telling you the truth? And, oh, my God.
And I'm gonna make it simple for you. So I'm going to make it simple that you can even verify that yourself, okay? You're going to stick your head in the attic, okay? And you're going to do a 360 turn if you can. If you can, if you can't, or physically or what have you, you can have someone, friend of, that you trust.
Do it safely, yes.
Yeah, that will do it safely. And what you want to see is daylight all across. So you want to see, you want to, wherever you have the soffits or the intake where your attic should breathe, you need to have daylight. You need to see the sun, okay? And another indication would be the temperature in the attic. So, I mean, the ideal is to have the same temperature in the attic as outside, maybe with a few degrees variance here and there. So if you come in, for example, in a cooler day, if you come up and you find it's really hot in your attic, that's an indication where you have some blockages or not enough air is coming in. So you don't need technically an expert to tell you these things, right? Now, as far as the water infiltration, just by looking at the plywood, looking at the condition of the fiberglass itself will tell you, okay, there was some water damages in the future, in the past, I should say, and we should take care of that. So that, again, you don't necessarily need, it's more common sense than a contractor telling you what to do. The stereo vents are, and the insulation, the stereo vents insulation, that's more in his department. So that's something that he will discuss with you.
Well,
Donna,
thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for your call. That does it for us. Walter Assey, president of Rodovco, thank you for taking the time.
Always my pleasure.
We will chat again in a few days.
Absolutely.